Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Welcome into Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. Travis Ryer, of course, the proprietor of Ryer on YouTube. Along, you need to smash that like button, smash that subscribe button, check out everything Travis has got going on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Some fantastic content. A lot of it Alabama football related, some of it SEC football related, some of it neither of the above, but it's all fantastic content at Ryer on YouTube. All right, Travis, we head into week one with Alabama, the Crimson Tide on the road for the first time in program history going to Tallahassee. I dug this up, five meetings between these programs historically. All five of them have either been in Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Atlanta, or Jacksonville, our hometown. So first time ever in Tallahassee for Alabama. What about it? Season is here.
18 years ago, Goodbread, you and I went into what is now Everbank Stadium for that 2007 yes. Alabama-Florida State matchup. What'd they call that? The River City Rumble or something? Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It was the Duval County pillow fight, as I recall it. That wasn't much of a matchup. I'm guessing maybe a little more, a little higher level of football, hopefully, on Saturday in Tallahassee.
You know, I don't remember a lot about that game. That could be because I covered it for BOL from the bleachers rather than the press box. Jeez. I think the last time and maybe the only time I've ever covered a college football game from the bleachers instead of the press box was that game.
I think we were either freshly credentialed or had just been a year or so. Doug Walker had come in. We won't bore people with this too much, but Doug Walker had come in as the SID and he worked to get us in the box. But I mean, my first 3 years at BOL, we weren't credentialed at all. And period. So, the times they have changed a good bit. But I'm with you. I vaguely recall. I think it's selective memory. You know, I try not to think too much about that game.
Was the heartbreaker for Alabama Chris Ricks to Javon Walker on a fade? I want to say,
gosh, I think it was something like that. It was a 21-14 kind of game.
I think that was the final. I think you just nailed the final.
I think maybe John Parker hit DJ Hall for a touchdown in that one, but that was brutal. I mean, when you think about it now, you say, oh boy, Bobby Bowden and Nick Saban matched up, right? That was an awful, awful display of football.
It was not impressive. That's for sure, Travis. More impressive, Alabama certainly hoping to be in Tallahassee this weekend. Although, as we've learned this week, a couple more injuries beyond Jam Miller to be concerned about for the Crimson Tide. most recently, Tim Keenan, the team captain and defensive tackle, will be out for this game, reportedly going to miss several games with a need for tightrope surgery, which, Travis, as we know, typically, if not always, tightrope surgery means high ankle sprain, right?
Yeah, usually a pretty good one. Well, not pretty good from the Alabama perspective, but yeah, and it's never good really for any position. It does expedite the process. We've seen this before in other instances, and you know, hopefully for Tim's sake, more than anything, this is his last go around. I mean, you want him to have every chance he can to make it as memorable as he possibly can. So that kind of like Jam's deal. I mean, that's where you start with all this, is that for Tim Keenan, a captain, here it is, game week. Usually if you can get through Tuesday, Wednesday, right, you're going to be in good health, because really it's hard to get hurt the rest of the week. And sometimes even if it isn't sort of full pad work or anything like that, ankles, yeah, it doesn't really matter as much. But yeah, I hate it for Tim Keenan, but as an extension, it's going to be very interesting for this football team right there in the middle of that defensive line.
Also, speaking of the middle of the line of scrimmage, doesn't sound like Jaden Roberts is in great shape to play for this in this game either, Travis. The word from Kalen DeBoer just here on Wednesday, and now this is fairly important context, I think, Travis. Alabama practices in the morning now. They used to practice in the afternoon. Saban was an afternoon guy when it came to practice. DeBoer likes to practice in the morning. Well, when Kalen DeBoer comes on that 11:30 a.m. Wednesday SEC teleconference, Alabama's football practice is in the books on a Wednesday every week of game week this season. And so when Kalen DeBoer comes on that teleconference and says, yeah, somebody wasn't full go today, they're talking about Wednesday. They're talking about the last practice, where that Wednesday is the tattletale, right?
Yeah, so, and Saban would meet on Wednesday evenings a lot of times after that Wednesday practice.
True. So yeah, he would.
We could get some of that also, but you're right. I mean, it is a different sort of angle to all this with the time change in practice at Alabama.
Yeah, no Wednesday night press conference for Kalen DeBoer this season, Travis. It's just going to be all he does. The only access media-wise, again, not to bore, but the Wednesday access for media is just that SEC teleconference late morning on Wednesdays, and then he does his radio show that night. But you know how that goes. So,
but here's the big difference too. Kalen will actually talk about it like he did today,
right?
Pretty depth terms.
Yeah.
Whereas Nick, you know, you we'll can kind of have it in game time or something like that, or you know, we're gonna take it up to game time and see what happens. Yeah. You know,
I'm expecting to see a start for Cam Dewberry at a guard spot. What about you on Saturday?
I mean, yeah, I've been kind of thinking it's headed that way with Jaden Roberts out, Geno Vandermark, Cam Dewberry going to be your guards. And you know, it's interesting because we continue to hear, even I think this evening, right, on Hey Coach, that in terms of saying all the right things, that's been Kalen DeBoer. And as we talk about that offensive line, I'm going to interject some video here from Wednesday's practice. There's that group right there. So there you see Chase.
Wilkin Formby right there.
Yeah, it's Formby at right tackle. There's Cam Dewberry at left guard. And that's what it looks like, is your two guards.
Yeah. Yeah. The Alabama offensive line, not quite all together with Roberts presumably out. We'll see how that goes. I suppose there's some chance he could play on Saturday. More than likely it'll be Dewberry at a guard spot. Although Travis, as I've said throughout the offseason on this podcast and elsewhere, to me, the key spot on this whole line is that right tackle spot. Where is Wilkin Formby going to be improvement-wise in 2025? I think it's, frankly, significantly more critical than either of the guard spots.
And when I look at Florida State, I talked about this here on the channel a couple of nights ago, going down some rabbit holes with this Florida State team. I felt like I needed to get familiar with Florida State because there has been so much movement from a portal perspective, really along both lines of scrimmage for the Seminoles. But, you know, you got transfers from Nebraska and Tennessee at the defensive end positions. Omar Graham is a Jack linebacker. It's been around a little bit, but it's really a group for Florida State that, yeah, it's still Florida State, but it's not that Florida State. It's not Mickey Andrews.
No, Florida State.
It's not Jamal Reynolds coming off one of those edges for Florida State on Saturday. So, yeah, I would say this is a pretty important kind of first hurdle for Formby and this offensive line in general because they should be able to hang in there pretty good even without Jaden Roberts. I still don't know if it's a dominant group, but I'm not sure in this offense it has to be dominant, Chase. I don't get that sense.
Yeah, let's stay with Florida State here for a minute. The Crimson Tide's opening opponent. They've got, and this has been counted different ways here in Alabama FSU previews here in the last week or two. I did my own count. Aside from specialists, I couldn't even tell you if they're starting transfers among specialists. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But just offense and defense, by my count, it's 8 transfers starting on offense and 4 on defense. Maybe I'm going to end up being off by one.
I think that's
ballpark. And at a minimum, 4.
Let's see. Chase got some. You good with the Wi-Fi, good, Brad? Is he gumming up on us a little bit? I think Chase's point, though, is what we talked about also here on the channel a couple of nights ago. I mean, you can look at Florida State quarterback transfer.
A number of these guys, Travis, just transferred a year ago to Florida State.
Yeah, it's not like they were freshmen and they made moves.
Roydell Williams, Earl Little.
Yeah.
You know, Richie Leonard on that offensive line.
Two of the starting wide receivers are fresh. Squirrel White, Tennessee last year. Deuce Robinson, USC last year. Gavin Sawchuk at the running back position, Oklahoma last year. Luke Pettibone, starting center, Wake Forest. Really all 5 of the projected starters on that offensive line, you're talking about transfers. So with an emphasis on offense, no doubt. And to go along with a new coordinator and Gus Malzahn, who brought along his offensive line coach, Herb Hand, who he's worked with a lot in the past. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of unknown in this game, especially from the Florida State perspective.
I'm not so sure if you went through and counted the FSU starters against Alabama who were signed out of high school by Florida State. I'm not sure you couldn't count them on one hand.
No, I mean, you know, that's kind of been the blueprint here of late for Mike Norvell and Florida State. It kind of got it right a couple of years ago, and we're on the doorstep of the college football playoff until the injury to Jordan Travis. Yeah. And they've, you know, it's kind of like going to the casino. You know, just because you hit the man one night, usually the next night, he doubles up on you. And that's kind of what happened to Florida State last year. But once you start going there, it's kind of hard to stop because, you know, that's sort of the plan you put in place. And now you're really banking on it. And then when you have a 2-10, like Mike Norvell had last year, you can't go to the fan base and go, okay, we've tried the portal. We've been heavy in the portal. We're not going as hard in the portal, but this might take a couple of 3 years.
Yeah.
They're not going to hear that so good. Although, I don't know what you do if you're Florida State and this goes poorly this year for Norvell because you just gave him the big extension after the 2023 season. So that buyout can't be real favorable.
Let's be clear. Florida State's not the only school that's just decided to go transfer crazy for a starting lineup. But does it remind you at all of Mississippi State, Jackie Sherrill era, where he just blew it out on JUCOs out of Mississippi? out of Kansas, wherever he could find them, just grabbing these JUCOs left and right. And it worked for Jackie for a while.
I got it with Jackie, though, because, I mean, he was right in the middle of, you know, some of the very best junior college football in the country. Mm-hmm. It was JUCO, but it was still organic to Mississippi State because of where Mississippi State, where Starkville sits in relation to Northwest, in relation to Hines, Itawamba, East Miss.
I
got, but Florida State traditionally where it sits with all of that high school talent has been able to go more the high school route and develop players. And, it almost feels like it was a little bit of fool's gold a couple of years ago when the stars aligned just right. And now Florida State's gotten away from it. And again, you're kind of at a point where you can't just say, okay, well, it's kind of like SMU trying to quit cheating in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, and they chose the phase out, as they said, and that didn't work out so well either.
If Norvell does not get a legit turnaround of the program this season with patchwork lineups top to bottom with transfers, it becomes an indictment on one of two things, recruitment or development, and maybe both. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I think probably both in this particular instance. But look, man, I mean, it's just such a different era too. Everybody is in the portal business, right? But most places like Florida State, it's more about cherry picking. You know, it's not across the offensive line, across the defensive line, you know, so many different areas of your football team.
Yeah, no question. All right, Travis, looking at Alabama offensively in this game, let's kind of go matchups a little bit. Ty Simpson are obviously coming in with his first career start for the Crimson Tide as quarterback, coming in with backup running backs behind him. Jam Miller, as we said, is going to be out for this game. Here you see some practice video of Ty Simpson throwing it around at the practice facility. What do you foresee, Travis, for this Alabama offense on the road? Obviously, it's going to be a noisy place. I believe it's at least a ticket sellout, if not a butts in seats sellout. Won't be the easiest environment in the world. Ryan Grubb's got to get up there in that box and make some play calls that are going to keep pressure off of Simpson, keep him out of those third and longs.
I don't think there's going to sort of be these guardrails totally on Ty Simpson, in part because you don't have your top back in Jam Miller. Now, look, I think Daniel Hill, Richard Young, guys we're looking at here on the practice footage from Wednesday, are still going to be capable of giving them what they need. But most of what you're going to wonder about is going to have to do with even the backs in the passing game. You know, what does it mean in terms of protection? Do they have to max protect more? Do they have to go more seven-man protection, where with Jam they could have been more six, right, to kind of take care of their quarterback? So I think specific to what Ty brings to the table, I don't think that's as much of a concern as – you know, making sure he's able to carry out what you want him to do, because you've got a little bit more uncertainty. And that's not even as much about Jaden, because we saw Geno Vandermark a good bit last year. Cam Dewberry's an older guy, power four guy. You know, neither Vandermark or Dewberry are, you know, all Americans, but they should be good enough is kind of where I'm at with that situation to help Ty Simpson do what he needs to do. And, you know, you've still got the Ryan Williams and the Jeremy Bernards and, you know, Isaiah Horton that you can work with. And Florida State, you know, we look at that other side. Florida State's got plenty of question marks in that secondary. And really, is Florida State, as I talked about a little bit earlier, is Florida State really built in a way defensively to maybe take advantage of some of these things that we're talking about with the Alabama offense?
Earl Little former Alabama player, could be in roaming around that FSU secondary as well, Travis.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be playing, I guess, that rover position, which is kind of like the nickel, I guess, in this new 3-3-5 that Florida State is unveiling on Saturday. And, you know, that's part of it, too. It's the unknown that you're not going to be totally sure about with the coordinators making the change there on both sides of the ball, has Norvell there at Florida State. So, yeah, that's going to be part of the storyline. Earl Little is a guy that, you know, wasn't, I guess, exceedingly patient at Alabama. Not many guys are these days with the access of movement and the availability to move like they have. But that'll be a fun one to watch, too, with him there at that kind of, I guess, slot corner position.
Yeah, him and Ryan, to whatever extent they throw Ryan Williams in the slot, we'll see some Ryan Williams v. Earl Little, maybe, as long as Williams is playing. Sounds like Williams is going to be playing some slot. I'm sure he'll be outside, too. That's going to be another aspect to watch. Of course, he was pretty much exclusively an outside guy as a freshman in 2024. But Kalen DeBoer has been clear going all the way back to spring practice that we'll see some of Alabama's most dynamic offensive player in the slot as well in 2025.
Yeah, and look, it kind of fits with their 11 personnel that they have right now. As we've talked about here in the past, Horton, you know, more of a true outside guy, especially with his size. You know, when I think of Jeremy Bernard in terms of what he brings physically and his skill set, kind of like a Z, more of what you would see. Ryan can do it all. So if you can get the matchups you want with him inside, that's a great thing, because it's not, maybe not so much because there's more of an emphasis put on having a really high quality guy at that position, that inside position, than there used to be. I mean, it used to be, yeah, defensive coordinators playing a strong safety at that spot in the nickel. It's not like that anymore. I mean, typically you've got a legit dude in there. So, yeah, I think the matchups are going to be fun to watch. But, you know, they're going to start up front for Alabama, as we talked about earlier, with that offensive line. And can they hold up?
You're listening to the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to give it a like and a subscribe. We're going to flip the lineup card now, Travis. Take a look at that Alabama defense against the FSU offense. And to me, this is the unit, this is the side of the ball for the Crimson Tide that may well need to carry the day in this game, Travis. A lot of experience on the defensive side of the football for the Crimson Tide. A real patchwork offensive line for FSU. I wrote a little bit about that in the Tuscaloosa News just today. If you're going to catch four offensive line transfers on their heels, week one's when you do it, right? They're going to be a lot better down the road than they are now. I think Alabama is catching this offensive line exactly when you want to catch them, if you're going to expose the fact that FSU is really trying to microwave cohesion here, Travis.
Yeah.
We hear offense. Have you ever heard any offensive line coach do a press conference and not talk incessantly about the importance of cohesiveness, right? Got to gel, all that kind of thing. Well, Herb Hand can't talk about that when it's offensive line, right?
It's tough because it's always been – such a developmental position in the past, where one area of a football team pre-portal and pre-freedom of movement that you could pretty much count on a guy staying for at least 3 or 4 years was along the offensive line. And so with that, it gave you the opportunity to build that, you know, cohesion that you're talking about. And, but look, if you're Florida State and you're hearing this about Tim Keenan, that's good news, because when you get beyond Tim Keenan in terms of tackle for loss production, sacks, things like that from a year ago, it drops significantly. Now you still got LT Overton, you still got James Smith. So, you know, those are more guys off the ball a little bit, but those are guys that if they've really taken the step that we've heard they've taken, then they should show up huge. Now, right there in the middle of that defense. Isaiah Fonga here that we're seeing in the tape. Maybe he's a guy that we see more of. Obviously, Jeremiah Beeman's a guy you've talked about a lot right here in the video. Here you see him. Actually, I think that is LT Overton. I was thinking 92. That's LT. And look, it's time for LT to go from almost Overton to LT Overton. It was almost last year, a lot. Now, what about this guy, James Smith? You know, that's another guy that we just talked about. You've got some guys that can step forward and kind of cover for it. There's Beeman. Yeah. This is a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think if the defense can come out and get a couple of stops early, does a lot. It does a lot for the offense, does a lot for Ty Simpson. If you can keep the crowd quieted down, keep the FSU offense at bay early, does wonders for an Alabama offense that might need a little time to find its footing on the road in game one.
Time for this guy right here too, Jordan Renaud.
Yeah,
Edric Hill right here. These are guys that have been around for a while now.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily guys that maybe are going to help fill that void directly for Tim Keenan, but collectively, you should start seeing more production from multiples on this defensive line.
No question. And, you know, let's get into why Alabama is going to be facing all these transfers. Travis, Florida State averaged fewer than 16 points per game last season. The offense was positively dismal. And, you know, they've not only got new faces on the offensive line, obviously Castellanos, the quarterback, is a transfer out of BC. You mentioned Squirrel White, a new face at wide receiver. Pittman, the tight end, is a fresh transfer as well. So, you know, yeah, I mentioned how they probably aren't going to have a ton.
I think Chase is maybe gumming up a little bit here with the internet connection again. So we'll check back in with him here in just a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, for this Alabama defense, the opportunity to be there to make an early statement. And that's the best way to deal with a Gus Malzahn offense is to get off the field and win on early downs, because once Gus gets that sort of 3 and 4 yard deal going, then he's able to go at tempo, and then you got a real problem. Then they get in sync. Then everything starts to fall in place. And as a part of that, it makes life a lot easier for a quarterback like Tommy Castellanos, who early on you have to anticipate Castellanos is Chase gonna, you know, he's gonna be a guy that's going to have the football in his hands, obviously a lot as the quarterback, but Gus will use him in ways to check the discipline of this Alabama defense. See those eyes to the quarterback, those type of things. You know, is this defense going to be disciplined enough with its eyes to do what it needs to do against this Gus Malzahn offense?
Yeah, no doubt. What about special teams, Travis? We've hit the offense. We've hit the defense, the Alabama special teams. A little bit on the spot this season. New punter, new kicker. Connor Talty obviously stepping in to replace Graham Nicholson. Blake Dowd stepping in to replace James Burnett. Burnett, by the way, waived by the Saints the other day as the NFL begins their cutdowns. This is a critical area. And you know it better than anybody as a former kicker yourself. I don't know what Alabama can expect. I'll be honest with you, Travis. For whatever questions I might have about the Alabama offense going into 2025, I'm more questionable on special teams than I am how the offense is going to run.
Yeah, as far as kicking the football, yeah, I mean, It was good to hear, I guess, Kalen today talk more positively about Connor Talty, but you're not going to know. You're not going to know until Saturday at 2:30 Central. And if there's a silver lining in all of this for Alabama from that perspective, it's that Florida State's got the same questions at pretty much the same spots. Mm-hmm. So a year ago, Alabama felt very strong at those positions. A year ago, Florida State felt very – I don't think Florida State's kicker last year missed a field goal attempt. I think he was – it wasn't an inordinately high number of attempts a year ago, but it was like 13 of 13. Right. Didn't miss. So the Seminoles have some uncertainty there too. Maybe the return game, if you're Alabama, you know, you feel pretty good about that, right? Your options there, your coverage unit should be good, but – in terms of just actually punting the football and kicking the football on field goal opportunities, you kind of flying blind a little bit until you see it on Saturday.
What struck me, Travis, was after that second scrimmage, right? Like, mm-hmm. I guess about 10 days ago, media assembles for the Kalen DeBoer press conference, having not seen anything because it's closed to the scrimmage. Kalen DeBoer was asked directly, how was kicking and punting in scrimmage two? And he sugarcoated it. And then post press conference, the Songbirds who were in attendance at the scrimmage said, oh, it was a disaster, right? a lot of problems with the kicking and the punting. I got a terrible report on how
it was funny. Look, Baghdad DeBoer on
good. You almost, regardless of how good or bad it was, you'd have felt better about it if DeBoer would have come out in that presser and said, oh, yeah, we got a long way to go.
You know, you're dealing with psyches, you know, and
yeah, we're almost there. You know.
Well, and DeBoer knows in this day and age, if you come out and just pretty much put anybody on blast, a very select number of your own fan base will light them up on social media, you know, right. Which is what you don't want after a scrimmage, let alone a game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Nick might have lit him up though. Yeah. Nick might have told you straight up. Well,
I think Nick though still, he would have been, yeah, we got some work to do there, he might have said, you know.
Speaking of work to do, before we get out of here on the Talking Tide podcast, Travis, just a couple of minutes to go, but some work to do for Greg Byrne, the Crimson Tide Director of Athletics. Of course, just learned this past week that the league is going to go to a 9-game conference schedule beginning in 2026. He's got two non-conference power league opponents lined up per season for roughly the next decade. He's already gotten to work. He has already shut down a home-and-home with West Virginia that had been scheduled for 26-27. More of this is coming.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, with the move to 9 games in the league, and as you said, keeping the one power four in addition to those 9, there's going to be some trimming of non-conference opponents. And yeah, West Virginia would have been cool. I mean, you don't get many trips to Morgantown, right? It would have been really cool, though. It would have been made tougher if Nick Saban was still around and was going to be around next year. Kind of been a home going home game for him, the West Virginia native. But once this started to come out, I know you did a column where you sort of offered your assistance to Greg Byrne in terms of which games should stay and which games should go. Knowing you still had that return game coming with Florida State next year, a home game, right. You weren't just going to walk away from that. So it was going to be the start of that West Virginia series.
Yeah, I called the West Virginia home and home getting shut down. I called Oklahoma State getting shut down. We'll see what happens there. I think that's coming too. I guess what's going to be interesting, Travis, is how many of these home and homes are going to get straight up canceled versus how many are going to get deferred to 2036, 2038, right? That'll be something to watch.
yeah, they could do that, you know, take that approach and just start stacking them on the back end of what they already have established with the two, with the dual years, the dual games years that they have. So yeah, it's a shame in some ways, but you know, if you're still keeping the Ohio States down the road, you're still keeping the Notre Dames down the road. I think, I don't think many people have much quibble with that.
All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast in season, finally in 2025. That is our preview of the Alabama-Florida State game down in Tallahassee this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. kickoff on ABC. Travis, looking forward to more regular editions of Talking Tide throughout the fall, and specifically a recap on Sunday night, which is kind of a Talking Tide tradition, right?
Yeah, the Sunday Nighter will be back coming up this Labor Day weekend, so you'll want to check that out. And you know, we'll have some other stuff as we get closer to the game and also immediately following the game on Saturday afternoon. So sure, if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And a thumbs up would help us out tremendously as well.
All right, that'll do it for Travis Ryer of Ryer on YouTube. I am Chase Goodbread, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News. We will be coming right back at you on Sunday night with an Alabama-Florida State recap. Until then, so long.